Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. When the church faces opposition, well, nowadays when the church faces opposition, we usually just whine. And it doesn't have to be much opposition. Could it be that the church actually flourishes when opposed, even in the smallest way, that this opposition is not meant for ill, but from God for our good? Joining us to talk about Christianity under opposition, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of a column in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Faith That Flourishes Even Amidst Opposition. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
There's no doubt about it. Some are saying it's a post-Christian age, and many church gurus, if you will, have said, well, with all of the cultural opposition that the church faces, the more that we stand out, the more that we seem like the odd man out, the church must change or face its inevitable decline, maybe even its death. Change or die. Is that the solution in the face of cultural opposition?
Well, it may be, but depends on what kind of change you're talking about. The church must adapt to its times, and it's always a dangerous thing to do so. Sometimes a person or a church might be tempted to acculturate, that is, to adopt the views of the culture, and you might get the short-term approbation of the culture, but you may well end up losing the gospel in the meantime. But the church needs to evaluate its context, its time. It needs to preach in a way that relates to people, can get the basic law and gospel message to people's ears today, to be creative in going about its evangelistic tasks, to be creative in the way the church is managed and led. Those are all things that are in constant flux and change and we must learn about. But we have a bedrock truth, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that bedrock truth never changes. You know, you've got, for instance, you have the German state churches, say 32 different churches, territorial and otherwise, that are in the evangelical church in Germany, the big kind of Protestant Union Church, Lutheran, Reformed, and United churches. That church that has 30 or 32 million members. That church has a total of some less than a million people in church on Sunday. Many would argue that that church has acculturated to the worst of modern culture. That is, acceptance of gay marriage, etc. The Missouri Synod, by comparison, has about 850,000 in church every morning. If you take all the Germans, the German Lutheran churches in Europe, Germany, the Missouri Synod has far more people in the pew on a Sunday morning than all of the, specifically, those churches in Germany which still call themselves Lutheran. So I think acculturation does not pay off. Of course, they're facing different pressures, and the pressures of culture are right on our tail, too.
It's nothing new, you write in your column, all the way back to the 4th century, when the church suddenly, some would say unexpectedly, found itself on the right side of Roman government for a change. And you say it didn't turn out well for the church. What do you mean?
No, well, it didn't. I mean, I didn't write in the article, but you know, Nestorius was the notorious heretic, is chosen from the city of Antioch, bishop in the city of Antioch, and he's chosen to be the patriarch, or what would become to be known as the patriarch in Constantinople, the most important episcopal see in the Eastern Empire. He's basically chosen by Theodosius II, the emperor, hand-picked. And he's handpicked to bring an end to all the bickering among Constantinople clergy. Well, of course, he ends up a serving and becomes known as the great arch heretic, throws the empire into absolute chaos. So you have from this time forward, you know, the church gets all the benefits of the state, and the state props it up, but also the state becomes the great influence. The state is always interested in unity or political ends with the church, and the church becomes less than a church when it's all balled up in political concerns.
Now, what people are watching is a general decline in mainline Protestantism. Now, I account for this by saying that mainline Protestantism has done what you did, what you said just a few moments ago. It has accommodated itself to the culture, that it no longer has anything distinct to say to the culture, and that accounts for its decline in part. Mm-hmm. But we've got to be honest here. We're talking about an overall decline, generally speaking. Even with the church growth movement, Matt, after 35, 40 years of the church growth movement, American Christianity is smaller than it was 35 or 40 years ago. Does that have to happen just because it's a trend?
Well, I would say no. It's not. It's not inevitable. It is something that is not something that must necessarily be so. However, I mean, we are in the end times. The pressures of the culture upon us, the demonic forces of the world upon us. The texts constantly say that we are the faithful are the little flock, and those texts come to mind as the support of the support of the state of the church begins to fade. Then more and more, you'll find those who are truly Christians will be standing, and it will be a smaller number. So that's the moment we're in. Now, it may be the case, and we will pray that the Lord will grant renewal and repentance. And every great error of the church begins with repentance and a call back to the Scriptures. The immigrants that came to this country and started faithful Lutheranism in the 1830s and 1840s were all about preaching of repentance. And the loss of the content in mainline Protestantism has been, the content of the gospel has been horrific. But we have to look at ourselves and our own Missouri Synod and other confessionally Lutheran church bodies. Are we preaching in such a way that people are convicted of their sins and converted continually and given faith, forgiven, and the gospel lavished upon them so they cannot help but run out of church and grab hold of their neighbor in love and tell them about Jesus?
So then we've got about a 2 minutes before we wrap up here, Matt. What is the real faith that not only does but has flourished in the midst of opposition, opposition far worse than we know even today?
Yeah, faith grabs hold of Jesus. Its whole content is Jesus. Everything it has is Jesus. Jesus' active keeping of the law for me. Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. Jesus covering me in holy baptism with his forgiveness and righteousness. Jesus imparting his absolution and forgiveness to me when my pastor speaks it to me at church, or when my friends and loved ones around me speak forgiveness to me in their daily vocations. It's that faith that looks for Jesus to be preached in the sermon every week, and if it doesn't get Jesus from the preacher, complains about it. It's that faith that looks to the body and blood of Jesus delivered, true body and blood, real body and blood, same one that hung on the cross for the deliverance and forgiveness of all of our sins. It looks for an absolution when it goes out of church and lives its life in joy amidst any and all trials and difficulties. Finally, in joy, knowing, like Luther, that the ultimate is certain, so the penultimate is no longer that deadly serious. God, it's in God's hands. Let's live joyously, share Jesus, and keep smiling no matter what.
So then with about 30 seconds, what goes for an individual in terms of that kind of faith that clings to Christ alone also goes for whole churches?
Yeah, absolutely. Seconds. We've got nothing to lose. The ultimate is in God's hands. And we have been so blessed We have been so blessed in the Missouri Synod. It isn't time to sit around and wring our hands and wonder, you know, if we're going to be blessed anymore. We have so many things and blessings and people and churches and institutions and universities and a lot of stuff that is just doing fantastically. I've been on college visits recently to Mequon, Concordia Mequon, and Concordia Seward. I was just out of Bronxville. I am so proud of what the Lord has given us and how it's been maintained. Unbelievable blessings. So, let's repent of our sins, look to Jesus, and work, and leave the results to Him. But work, and keep smiling.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. He's author of a column in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Faith That Flourishes Even Amidst Opposition. Matt, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, Todd. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Folks, here's a great way that you can help us educate a new generation of Lutherans. It's called the Issues Etc. 300, a growing group of congregations that support Issues Etc. in the amount of $1,000 or more in their annual budget. It's our congregational sponsorship program. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support right there. It's a one-page flyer that you can download and print off. It'll tell you what you need to know about the Issues Etc. 300, so you can go and ask your congregation to join. Tomorrow is the 16th century reformer Martin Luther's birthday. And tomorrow during the show, we'll have Uwe Simonetto with us. He's going to answer the question it's often raised about Martin Luther. Was Luther anti-Semitic? He had some rather harsh things to say to the authorities about the Jews. Does that make him anti-Semitic? Also tomorrow, we'll discuss Luther on music with Dr. Carl Schalk. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.